Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Nahum chapter 1, we were talking about the ignorance of people that say, we'll just have to forgive them. Well, let's start the week with those thoughts today.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
One who will not receive him is an enemy of God. Friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God. That is the world system, the worldly way, the flesh. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I'm certain that people who say that a good God would not send anyone to hell don't like this verse. Some have said that the God of the Old Testament is a bully. Well, my friend, he's the same God in the New Testament. And as Malachi teaches, God never changes. Man does not determine if God is just. Okay? We don't determine that. God is just. He is holy. He is creator. God is sovereign. You say, what do you mean by the God is sovereign or the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God is simply this. God's right to do what he wants with all that is his. As the creator, this entire world is his. He created it all, so therefore, he can do whatever he wants with any part of his creation. Now, because God is jealous, he is furious with Nineveh. Now, why would God be jealous? 150 years earlier, they'd been forgiven. He gave them great grace because they repented. They didn't deserve that grace. They didn't deserve that forgiveness, but they repented and he granted it. You know, I have people tell me about people and they'll say, well, you just got to forgive them. In other words, let them go on and sin. You just got to forgive them. No, I got to have forgiveness in my heart, but I can only extend the forgiveness when they ask for forgiveness. Okay. I mean, just think, here's a mass murderer, and he's brought into court, and he says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and he's going to go out and do some more? Or do we say to them, well, yes, he's a murderer, and he'd probably go out and murder more, but you just got to forgive him. Why do you expect more of a court than you do of God? Why do you think God will accept what the courts of this land know is a bunch of baloney? Satan has people so deceived, and many of them have letters after their name of doctorates and that, and they can't see how ignorant that is. Now, this Nineveh group, 150 years later, is much worse. God is jealous because they have given their allegiance to false gods, particularly the gods of pleasure who find virtue in all sinful indulgences. And then they try to justify it as God wants me to feel good. God wants me to be happy. God doesn't want you to feel good and be happy in sin, my friend. Even as today, when men and women commit adultery, they sluttingly say, but it is love. Or God wants me to be happy. Why is it later they find that that didn't make them forever happy? Because the moments of pleasure are far outweighed by the heavy burden of regret. When men receive Christ by repentance and faith, God gets angry if they begin to turn back to the way from which they came. And justly so. How angry is God? The Bible tells us He is furious. And the idea behind that is of the heat of anger and wrath is the idea behind the word furious. The very hot anger, wrath. The wrath, the hot anger of rage and indignation. It could be used with the word poison, meaning enough to kill. Now, God's not out of control. Rather, the sin of man is out of control. That nation that turned its back after the great deliverance of God, they have gone back to their sin. They are out of control. Now, please learn by this that God is holy. Imagine at the white throne those who have rejected His mercy. Who shall stand? No one. We're told that the Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries 3 times in this one verse of verse 2. He will take vengeance finds that the root of the phrase means to breathe deeply and forcibly, and to grudge, to punish, and inflict a penalty on their sin. You see, the Lord God Almighty is a phrase used of Jesus Christ 3 times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21 show Him coming back with a sword in His mouth, and His vesture is dipped in blood. The Almighty God, who is omnipotent, is coming in wrath. My friend, may I add, I believe that that's soon. I honestly believe that that's going to be soon. Conviction for you, when the preacher preaches, and you're not sure that if you died that you'd go to heaven, realize He's been patiently waiting for you. He is extending mercy to you. But that day the Lord will come, and then it will be too late. We are to have the fear of the Lord, but in Him, no fear of that which opposes God and righteousness. Anybody who walked an aisle to receive Christ can tell you that the fear of what will people think? All these people. But you keep your eyes on Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And by the way, all of that is in holiness, because that's the only thing God gives is everything that He gives is holy. Now, I say that because anyone who stepped over the fear of Satan and walked forward do not regret that they did. I've never met a person on their deathbed who regretted getting saved. And I've talked to people on their deathbed. Not one of them that were saved said, "No, Brother Andy, I wish I would have never got saved. I wish I could just go on to hell." They don't say that. Now, they do have many sins that they do regret. And I've had people tell me things on their deathbed that they regret, and they could do nothing about it now, except the forgiveness of God, but also know of the loss of reward. You know, I've found this interesting. And I guess I find it more in marriage counseling, where a man has cheated on his wife or a wife has cheated on her husband, and I have as much one way as the other. But they've cheated, and they say, you know, I feel guilty about this, but if I tell them, it would destroy them. Well, Satan has told them that. And so my question is, oh, doesn't your husband, doesn't your wife love you? And they go to the grave a lot of times having never told, thinking, I'm doing this to save them from a lot of heartache. And it will be heartache. It will be heartache for them. When they find out that they have been betrayed as Jesus was betrayed by Judas, they found that they were betrayed by someone who made a vow to them for life. When they find out they've been betrayed, they'll be hurt. Jesus was also hurt when Peter said, I know him not. He denied him. He didn't betray him, but he did say, I don't know him. Three times. That hurt Jesus. But Jesus forgave him. Now, so you're willing in that confession to withhold it, that she'll find out when she gets to heaven anyhow, because the counsels of the heart, the dark things, the hidden things will be made manifest, 1 Corinthians 4:5, speaking of Christians. They'll know it then, and it's too late. You've lost reward. You're saved so as by fire. And so, my friend, I know that most counselors, most Christian counselors say, preacher, I disagree with that. You're not disagreeing with me. I'm just telling you that the Lord tells us to confess our faults one to another. And we don't say, well, that fault might cause some pain, so I'm not going to share that one. I'm not going to go that direction. Well, you better get it right, my friend. You better get it right. So again, I just want you to understand. There are many people out there who are going to find out too late. They should have done what God said. His love is patiently calling to you now. But again, his love is never, 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 never divorced from his holiness. He shed his blood so he could bring people to heaven justly. No one's sin goes unpunished. Jesus Christ took the punishment for us if we will receive it. But if we reject, there's nothing left but a devil's hell. I say a devil's hell because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.